Welcome back, everybody, to season 4 of the Reconnected podcast. The theme of this season is going to be about connection, connection with others, connection with something outside of yourself, and connection within yourself. And today we are so happy to have Haley Reardon with us. Raised in a coastal Massachusetts town north of Boston, Haley Reardon is a critically acclaimed folk pop singer and songwriter. She is a storyteller in the truest sense of the word. Her songs serve as postcards from an artist brave enough to take the road less traveled. Reardon dove headfirst into music at the young age of 15 and has spent much of the past decade writing, recording, and performing music around the world. Reardon's songs have been featured on multiple Spotify editorial playlists and Apple Music playlists with over 7 million streams on Apple Music alone. She has shared the stage with renowned artists, including Massachusetts' own Laurie McKenna, Rodney Crowell, and Anise Mitchell, among others. She spent 3 years based in Nashville and much of the past 6 years carrying her songs and stories all over the globe, including a six-month artist in residency stay in Dachau, Germany, yeah. gathering experiences, inspiration, and soulful connections. And her most recent albums were recorded in Barcelona with Catalan collaborators Pau Figueres, who is the producer and one of Spain's most premier instrumentalists, and Daniel Bistit, who is the recording engineer. You can visit HaleyReardon.com for a full bio, photos, tour information, and links to her music. So my way of describing Haley Reardon, I like to think of Haley as a one-of-a-kind artist, an old soul with an incredible musical gift, and let me explain my reasons why as I continue. I first came across Haley in the spring of 2022. It was around the time when events were coming to be in person, which was following the isolation we all felt during the depths of the COVID pandemic. And there was a TEDx talk, and it was an event that was occurring in the Back Bay area of Boston, where my office is located. And I really wanted to attend this conference, but the tickets were sold out. So instead, I had to watch the live stream online. And the event was an educational event in nature, and so I was not expecting any musical performances or any music involved. However, the entire event started with a live performance from the one and only Haley Reardon, and I just thought to myself, wow, that music, that sound, that vibe, where did that come from? Who was that? And was so much up my alley in terms of the music I appreciate. So it was the spring of 2022, and Haley was working on new music at the time with renowned producer and musician Pau Figueres in Spain. And Pau joined Haley in a performance, picking on his guitar as she played her songs. And maybe I'm biased, but Haley really blew me away. Her voice is angelic and will make you feel like you're floating. Her vocals are soft and delicate and yet strong and powerful. Even more, she has that unique, dynamic, and distinct voice that really sets her apart from other artists. How can her voice be described in all these different ways? Well, to me, that's Haley Reardon for you. Even more, her lyrics and melodies are not just catchy and rhythmic, which they very much are, but they're also deep and they really capture your attention and your heart. On stage, she is just so sweet and kind and genuinely seems to be so grateful to share her music with her audience. Some of my favorite songs that you can look up right now if you want. Songs like Honest, Alive, Awake in Berlin, In the Good Light, Bleed Together. These songs will really calm your soul. They're going to capture your heart with melodies and depth that they really epitomize the singer-songwriter genre. Go listen to the beginning of her older song entitled Good from her future album Good. To me, that song, listening in the very beginning, it feels like you're about to enter a movie scene. She paints a picture with her words, and the arrangements in that song, it just really captures you. And they definitely has a lot of substance there. The chorus of her song Paper Mache is an upbeat vibe that feels like a 1990s acoustic throwback, which is when I was growing up. I have been so excited for this opportunity to be with Haley and get to know her story as a singer-songwriter. She really is a singer-songwriter who has it all, and she's definitely on top of my playlist. Some things are meant to happen, I suppose. In December of 2023, Haley was playing a show opening up for local rock star Will Daly at the Crystal Ball Theater in Somerville, Massachusetts. And I was not supposed to be in town that weekend, but my plans changed, and immediately I got tickets for the show because I had noticed that she was posting that she was going to be performing there. And my sister and I got into the car and jumped over to the theater and got to see Haley perform for the first time. And it was just so special, and waited for about a half hour. And finally, I got the chance to go over to her after she was done talking to everybody to go meet her after the show and just let her know how special her music really is. The next day, woke up and just had this random idea. I'm like, well, let's have her on the podcast to talk about the powerful experience of writing and producing and sharing original music. And I hope that this episode really sheds light on how meaningful and transcendent therapeutic songwriting can really be for everyone involved, including the person producing the music, but also the listeners. Haley really is a shining star who's going to continue to wow us all. I'm sure of that. And we are so grateful to have her in the studio with us today. And welcome, Haley Reardon.
Thank you, Terry. I could cry. That's so affirming of like many of a whole journey. Thank you. That was beautiful. It means a lot to me. Thank you for your thoughtfulness.
We're so excited to have you.
So where should we start with this? You know, Lex, why don't you get us started with, you know, where we're going to go with this interview?
Yeah, so you mentioned that the theme for this season is all about connection. And we are so grateful to have a sibling connection that we mm-hmm. think is really rare, especially in our adulthood. Mm-hmm. But we also feel connections really deeply. As Jerry mentioned in his introduction, there's a strong connection to your music. And we didn't even know you, but we knew we would love you when we met you. So welcome to our family, first and foremost. I always joke that when my clients work with me, they become a part of my heart and become a part of my world. And mm-hmm. I feel the same about this podcast. So we're really grateful to have you here. But thinking about connection, we were talking a little bit before we started about our connection to spaces and places. And mm-hmm. Jerry mentioned in the intro too that you come from a coastal Massachusetts town mm-hmm. in the town of Gloucester. And we were talking about how we too, when our mother moved up from New Jersey to Massachusetts, we really explored Gloucester as a place for her to land, to mm-hmm. be an extension of our family and our home. And though we didn't end up there, we ended up on the Cape, there's still like this pull to that space. And I think it's such a unique and special environment and space that people who call it home, I think, are so lucky. Mm-hmm. And even though we want to keep it a hidden gem, I wonder if you could share a little bit about, we don't want to gatekeep too much, right? But
yes.
I wonder if you can share a little bit about what that was like for you, just growing up in that space, because I imagine it also inspired so much of your journey.
Yes. Well, I mean, a little bit of this is due to my you know, vague bio. I grew up in Marblehead, Massachusetts, which is also a coastal
beautiful.
Town. Beautiful, but very different, like, in the feel than Gloucester. So I grew up in Marblehead. And of course, that was deeply inspiring to me, like, the being near the ocean as a baseline. Like, I didn't know any different. So later when I would go on and live elsewhere, it was like, terrified. Like, I was like, what is this feeling? Like, this landlocked feeling. I didn't know it was a feeling. But also, I mean, my parents are from through and through from Marblehead. Their parents are through and through from Marblehead. So
Wow. There
was a real sense of like of roots and sort of like lineage in that way and history in a town in a way that helped me connect to myself and to my family and to place in a strong way. So Marblehead is special to me. Mm. And Gloucester was very much a surprise to me how much I felt what we were just speaking about before
yeah.
the podcast is this very strong pull, an intense connection to that town. And I had been traveling. I grew up in Marblehead. Then I went away. I went to college in Nashville. Then I went and spent the better half of 3 years, most of 3 years in Europe, really. I would come home before I got a visa. I would come home for 3 months and then go back. And I was living in different parts of Germany and traveling all the time. So I went very far and wide, went to all these cities, traveled all over the world. I was like, I could see myself here, And then ended up taking a winter rental in East Gloucester just to write. Because I was living in Berlin and I knew that I needed to move home, but I didn't want to go home to Marblehead, but I knew I needed to go back to America. And I took a winter rental that a friend sent me a link to on Zillow, and it was like available for 4 months in East Gloucester. And I was like, well, I know I have this pull to Gloucester and I want to just write and it's going to be a brief thing. And I rented it and I just like couldn't leave thereafter. I was so surprised because Gloucester felt like, yeah, another local, you know, New England North Shore town. But no, I feel a very strong connection there. And And yeah, and other people too. It's, I was saying, there's this feeling like when you cross the bridge into Gloucester that I've spoken about with many people, that you, something shifts. There's a groundedness of the, about the place and the people there.
There's a really beautiful energy. I think there's a reason so many artists land there.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a really cool place to visit.
Right? To visit. Yeah. Just no, kidding. That's no one to hoard the beauty. Come on down. Yeah.
Those beaches are beautiful. Oh, Good Harbor so beautiful. Beach, Swinger Chic. Yeah. I mean, the beauty of those beaches. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. And speaks to this feeling of being tapped into, like, to that connection is the people there that I felt so embraced there because the moment the locals could tell, like collectively, I felt like when people could tell that I was tuned into that special thing about it and could feel it, they're like so warm and welcoming because of, yeah, there's this invisible thing there. But yeah, the beaches, the everything, the community, I like it there a lot.
I imagine too that, you know, when you're opening yourself up to change and being ready for whatever's to come, right? Moving back from Germany, back to the States, to a new town, to a new space, that there needs to be a little bit of vulnerability to just like show up and just unapologetically be there. And I wonder how that inspired that period of time for you, because you said you went there to write music.
Can I ask you a follow-up question to that, to kind of pull us back about change and putting yourself out there and being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I want to make the connection to when you started writing music. I really don't know anything about you personally, but I do know from your bio that you started music at a very early age.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get to that point where she started writing music in Gloucester, but let's start from the beginning. Like, what was that? Like, what inspired you to get into music? Like, who exposed you to it? Where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Marblehead. My dad's brother is a musician. There was always a guitar around the house. My dad wouldn't call himself a musician, but he was around his brother growing up and their band and everything. And my sister is a beautiful singer, and she was always singing, and she's six, seven, all these years, I still struggle with how much older than me she is. Math. Okay. She's like 6.5 years older than me. So she was always, you know, whatever she did was like the definition of cool. You know, she was so much, like the gap was so much so that she was like, I looked up to her so much and still do, but she would sing and was a singer. So I had that all kind of in my orbit. And I really loved writing. I loved, I was always writing little stories and poems and even like letters. If we were having a holiday, I would tell my mom, like, I'm going to write a letter for each person and put it around the table. So every, like, I loved to write. And then one summer I asked my dad to show me some chords on the guitar. And to me, the intrigue wasn't, it was writing from the beginning. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, because I want to learn this song. It was, it became very apparent to me that I wanted to blend those two things. And so my entry point to music was writing. And I would just, I mean, he gave me four chords and I just wrote with those same chords for the whole summer. So it went from there. And then later I went and kind of like filled in gaps about musicianship. But really it was this idea of bridging writing with music that was the spark for me initially. And I had the right environment for that with, you know, my family. So
I just had this image of your dad gifting you those four chords, and
yes,
what a beautiful gift that is.
Exactly. He did.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that.
It's incredible.
So such a simple thing became so robust in your life. Four chords, some ideas in your head that you want to write down, and everything kind of unfolded. Take us through how things unfolded into where you are now. Like,
it was summertime. Like I said, my dad showed me some chords, and it was very natural to me to just write and write and write. Like very, in a very intense way. Like it did kind of take over my life. Like I started writing all the time, songs. I remember that time being like, oh, I wrote three songs today, four songs today. Like, I wish I was like that now, my God. But it was so exciting, you know? I was just, I felt so at home in that space. And also, I did not think, like, I try and access that version of myself a lot because I was so just, like, enthralled by the flow I could get into when I just sat with a guitar and sang things and just sang words that came out. And And I was super, super anxious. Like, I'm just wired that way. Like, I've just always been, I've just always been a very kind of like, my natural tendency is to be sort of nervous and overthinking. And I remember the freedom I felt in the writing and in that space of like flow. It was like the one doorway in my being that the first one I found that felt like, you know, free from all that, free from my head, you know? So I loved it. And I wrote and wrote and wrote. And
can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
So I imagine that a lot of thought went into what you were writing. So what is the difference between like thinking and overthinking versus putting it into into a melodic lyric or song or chorus? Like how would you describe the difference between those two things?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is kind of still this way for me to this day, but I don't feel like when I'm writing that I'm really thinking. I feel like the lyrics are coming. The words, first of all, I cannot separate like lyric from melody when I'm writing. So they kind of have to come out at the same time because this flow of like the shape of the lyric with the melody is so, it's kind of the heartbeat to me of why I love songwriting. And I feel that usually that only comes out for me when I am kind of in a flow state and writing from a subconscious place. And then I'll listen to it and be like, oh, wow, like that's what I feel, you know? So usually the songs are ahead of me because for some reason, I don't know why. And I think it does date back to then when I started, I linked songwriting with like, or at least the thoughts, maybe not, it's not the same form of thinking. I linked songwriting with accessing this more like stream of consciousness or something. So yeah, I don't know that I was like analyzing or thinking about what I wanted to say. I was just pairing words with melody in a way that felt right to me. And I also didn't know back then, I just wrote about what I thought songs were meant to be about. I wasn't like deeply like soul searching. I was just like, wow, I love this, this vehicle, this thing of shapes connecting to a melody and a word. Like that to me was not cerebral. It was like it was very in my body. Like I was like, oh, I want this shape and this sound. And then it makes this and I like that. So yeah, for some reason it is separate from my thinking brain. And it felt like a relief then. I remember that for sure. A relief from sort of the way I was used to engaging with my thoughts and my brain and myself. And then to this day, that's where I try and get back to all the time. It's like that freedom I had then. So I wrote all the time because it felt really good. Mm. I remember that, you know? And yeah. And then my dad was super supportive. I would show my parents my songs I was writing and and my dad was like, wow, these are like real songs, you know? And he was like, that's interesting. Aww. And then, yeah, I kind of wanted to try playing them for people. I wanted to go to open mics. And I remember telling him that. And he brought me to an open mic in our hometown. And I said I wasn't going to play. I just wanted to watch. And then in the end, I played. And like I had sat on a stool and my feet were on the edge of the stool and my legs were like shaking, shaking, shaking. But I loved it and he was supportive. My whole family was supportive, but my dad especially. I would print out lists of open mics and I'd be like, can we go to this one now? And he would drive me. So from there, it kind of just became a part of my life, you know? And I was very, very supported in that. And I was very lucky. So
what did that support mean to you in terms of doing something that was scary, perhaps?
I mean, everything, because I think that it was like validating that, oh, these are worth sharing, these things you're writing. So, yeah, it meant a lot. And, yeah, I don't know. yeah, I think in the moment I didn't notice. It's more now when I look back, I'm like, wow, that was like, where did I, you know, would I have taken this in the what? You know, as seriously as I have, or like in the way that integrated this into my life in the way that I have now, had I not had that type of support, no. And so, yeah, especially the older I get, the more I'm like, wow, that was very important and impactful.
I think it's so important. Jerry and I work with a lot of young people who are trying to find their voice and their way of expressing themselves. And sometimes they have all these thoughts and feelings and maybe energies too that they don't really know what to do with. And I think it's so powerful when you can find an expression that feels like it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It probably feels different at different points in time, but yeah. it sounds like from your description that it just kind of made sense.
Yeah.
And I always say that, like, sometimes it's okay just being okay. Like, it doesn't have to be this transcendent experience. But if you have a vehicle, if you have some framework or some space to kind of just release whatever it is that's going on inside of you, it's probably one of the most beautiful human things that we can do and experience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's, yeah. And it's still hard for me to put words to, like, what role that filled in my life then. But yeah, that's the feeling of, it was like relief. I remember I wanted to stay in that space. Like, I wanted to stay in the space that I could access through writing songs. But I wasn't as concerned with writing songs. I wanted to be there. That's why I would write all day, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I love how you described all that. I mean, it just really humanizes the whole, like, singer, songwriter, musician persona, because, you know, you have this space where you can do this, but at the reality of the core of it, you feel and experience so much that I think everybody does in their day to day.
Yeah.
That it makes sense that you're able to tease that apart and then be able to transcend that experience to put it all together. I don't know. It's just such a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing it the way you did.
Thank you.
I think I just figured out one of the reasons why I like her music so much. It's like it comes from such an organic place. And you do use that word a lot, even in our conversations before. Like, you appreciate things being organic and natural and to just evolve naturally. And it sounds like you're not trying to force a song. You're not trying to, like, meticulously, like, put together this, like, pop song or something. You're so true to yourself. I love that.
Well, trying to be, I mean, I recognize that that's where all of this was born from. And I recognize that my sensibility, like, the things I feel good about are usually from that place. But I don't have control over when or how I get to that place. I mean, to a certain extent, I guess I can set the stage for it within my psyche and my life, I guess. But on this path of, like, actually trying to make this my job. I mean, I shouldn't say trying to. It is my job, you know? However humble, this is my job. This is my path. Mm-hmm. And so then it's also a more of a challenging dance because, you know, oh, I got to put out a new album, or I want to put out a new album, or I got to write, I got to do this. So it's harder to, like, keep the, you know, sometimes I'm doing things when they don't feel as organic, but I know that's my baseline. And I know that's where I, like, developed my sense of, like, what feels good to me. So usually if I feel like a rub inside myself of, I don't know how I feel about this, it's like musically, it's usually because some part of me doesn't feel like it's coming from that place. So I don't want to lean too heavily on that either and, like, not grow and not, like,
totally
push myself. So I'm always kind of weighing that inside me. But yeah, that's organic is a big, that word resonates, yeah.
Well, you're very reflective. It's like what you just said is very reflective. Mm-hmm. You know, part of, I'm just bringing this to therapy, like, part of therapy and me training therapists is, like, you have to, like, lean into being genuine and present, but also at the same time, like, check in with yourself. Mm-hmm. And what you just said is, like, amazing, for, like, so wise and beyond your years to be able to say, like, yes, and you used that term before, like, yes, and it's good to, you know, it's just very, genuine about your growth and to not get too comfortable to keep growing. And it's hard to do.
Exactly. Like, I can have the awareness to think like that, but in action, it's that balance is still very hard for me.
It's the hardest thing to do in life.
Yeah.
So no pressure.
Yeah. Okay, good. There you go. Thank you for affirming that. Cause yeah, I can talk about it, but I really don't know.
I also think that's the beauty of, like, us recording this podcast too, right? Some of the things that we talk about in reflection, where we have this space where we can explore things that sometimes we don't always get to talk about to people. Yeah. And really interesting people who have found their path and found their passion and are working towards living in alignment with their own values as they do that. We can always go back and listen, because when you were describing how you found music and how you started writing, it reminded me of, like, this beginner's mindset and, like, kind of looking through a child's perspective of doing something new that maybe you've never done before.
Yeah.
And when it fits and it feels like an expression and extension of your soul, it, like, becomes this beautiful magic that you want to just keep recreating. Yeah. And as you said, like, when you get older, it's hard to do that.
Exactly.
It's really difficult to, like, let go of all of the stuff we carry with us as we're, like, going into these moments to, like, permeate and, you know, ignite the magical passion that we want to flow through us. But there's something really beautiful in you being able to reflect on and express it the way you did. And hopefully we can keep coming back to that space. I often recommend and share that sometimes it's just like a little tiny point of joy that we need to hold on to. Mm-hmm. Like that one little moment that we can just come back to every day. Even if it's not like writing a full song, maybe it's just writing a line or a lyric.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so beautiful about journaling. And I think songwriting is such an extension of that.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. It's that same space where it's just come like in my, I always say like trap door, like it's coming out. But
I love that. Really,
like, you know, thinking I'm saying this right now. So, yeah, that space is so freeing to me. I crave that.
Like, it's so interesting. Yeah. I don't know. This is such a like a mechanical, logistical thing. But do you find that you write like handwritten in a notebook when you're writing your lyrics, or do you type them down? Because I feel like there's such a difference between the two.
That's true. I've done both. I mean, originally always handwritten, and I love that, although I have terrible, terrible handwriting. So it's like problematic for me in the end. So sometimes I feel cleaner to be typing it because I actually know what's going on. Yeah. That said, because my writing process, as I mentioned, is like so much the lyric and the melody have to be written at the same time for me to feel, I don't know, my best about it. Often I'm only writing lyrics out later. Like in the moment, I'm kind of doing all the writing and synthesis. Like I'm not, like it's not like the stereotype of like bent over a notebook, because I'm doing a lot of it kind of, I don't usually write it down until I'm done. Kind of.
Wow, you have a good memory.
Well, or I'm recording it. Like I'm using I'm making a voice memo or something, but I'm, but I can't really work so far. I'm not as good working out lyrics on paper as I am inside the song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so. No, that's so cool. We were joking before that Mike, our producer today, is like moves things around, kind of like the Matrix. And I imagine your brain kind of like integrating all the pieces of what you're writing and creating in your head as you go.
Yes. It's like a synthesis. Yes. And that's where I mean, it's my subconscious. Like suddenly I start to realize in that place what actually, like the details that come through or the moments that come through, I won't consciously even remember that I had stored them, or like that they mattered to me, or like this scene or this thing or this person that said, or the color of that person's shirt. I don't even know that I remembered them. And then it's like a synthesis place where if I can hit that moment, that it all happens. And then I look back at it and maybe write it out, transcribe the lyrics and say, oh, wow, like, look, all that stuck with me and I didn't know it. So, yeah.
Haley, what are some factors that you feel like do bring out the creativity in you? Have you identified like, you know, time of year or time of the day, or like when you're with certain people that makes you comfortable, like is there, or just a space that you go to, like is there any element or even mentally that helps you get there?
Yeah, well, usually I mean, I guess this is, I think, like proven or supported by things, but I attest to the fact that I'm more creative when I'm driving or in the shower, or like if I'm doing something else it's like kind of passive. I'm like sort of occupied. I'll have ideas come through. So I start a lot of songs when I'm driving if I'm alone, which is like a case for me not always being on the phone or listening to something, or sometimes the car is like either my office, like I'm talking to everybody, or if I leave space, I will start a lot of ideas. Well, I'm sort of in motion too. That inspires me. Like even if I'm on a train, or I did a lot of touring in Europe solo on the train. And that was always very inspiring. Like that, this sense of motion, like looking out a window or something when I'm actually moving, makes ideas come forth. And yeah. And nowadays, like when you say people, like there's certain, my childhood oldest best friend, from when I was a kid, when I'm with her, I find that afterwards I'll be more like anything that links me. It's weird. Anything that links me back to this younger version of myself, that's sort of like less inhibited, it somehow unlocks things and I'll be creative.
So when you performed in Somerville, you shared a story of the polar plunge. Is that friend?
No, that's a different friend. Well, see, that's okay. The polar plunge, that actually inspired Honest, the song.
I remember you said that.
Yes. And that's a friend of mine, you know, a newer friend, that we've been friends for some years now, but not like childhood. But yeah, she took me to do this polar plunge, ice bathing thing in the middle of a snowstorm on Good Harbor Beach, actually, in Gloucester. because I committed to go with her. Yes, exactly. I said I would go because she kept saying she would do it every day. And I was like, what? Oh my God, life is hard enough. Why are you doing this? And she said, because it keeps me honest. It keeps me honest. And I never knew what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? But she couldn't describe it any other way than it keeps her honest. And I was like, that's very mysterious and poetic. Mm. And what does that mean? And so I committed to go with her. I didn't check the weather, of course. So it was a blizzard. And I went in and it was terrible, obviously.
It's so brave of you.
It was like brutal. But I went immediately home and wrote that song.
Wow.
Like it almost wrote itself. So, and I did understand what she meant. Like the sensory experience was like really clarifying for me. And then I went home and wrote that song. And the chorus is like, yeah, if I were just honest, I might get what I wanted for once. If I were brave enough to feel it, I might know all I needed was love. And
that's one of my favorite songs. Beautiful song. Actually, yeah.
By the way, I just played it for my class today.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
During our break. And I'll share what they wrote, but they wrote some really nice free associations of how they felt when they listened to it.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Yes, I can't wait to hear. Thank you for sharing with them.
Okay, so you experience something. And then something catches you, like a theme of life or like some idea. And it sounds like you kind of meditate on that idea and you try to explain it.
Yeah, I guess. It's still very mysterious to me. But yeah, I know that there's some sort of like that I feel like I'm gathering. I'm out of my life. I'm gathering sort of, but I'm not consciously. I've always kind of felt bad about the fact that I'm not collecting song ideas intentionally. Mm. Like when I'm among other songwriters, I went to music school for a bit in Nashville and it was very much like this idea of, you know, you should have a list on your phone of song titles and you should be writing all the time and you should be gathering ideas and go to a co-write and be like, this is the idea I have. And I always felt like when I'm in my life, normally I'm not really like thinking like a songwriter because to me, that part of me, like the thinking part of me is not the songwriter part of me, you know? So I've always kind of felt bad about this or like I'm not, quote, doing it right or whatever. But yeah, I think I'm living and then when I go into this room, because it really does feel like a room inside myself, there's some sort of synthesis or this thing that happens and certain ideas or moments or connections I've made that I'm not aware I've made come forth.
I think there's so much there, and actually the science behind it is so fascinating because when we're overly focused on something, sometimes we miss a lot.
Yes.
And the idea of creativity actually comes from this expansiveness rather than like a direct focus or a line of like, this is the approach I need to take. So it's interesting because in my work, right, people come to me to help increase their focus and to try to be able to be more productive and do things in a systematic way. Yes. But I always offer that there's a usefulness, a utility to that. But then also we need to get to this place of expansion, not just this like myopic, like I need to do this thing in this way. And it makes sense, right? If you're learning to become a songwriter, there needs to be some kind of algorithm or equation or process.
Yeah.
But to live the experience of a songwriter, like you're describing, it's like, how do we make sense of all of these influences and inspiration and expressions that we want to share with the world through song? And I think there's a little bit of a difference between the two, which I imagine was probably hard for you going through like music school, because you're like, oh, wait, this is something that I can't just produce in that way. I can't just go through the motions to get to the song. I need to feel it and experience it.
Exactly. Definitely. Exactly. And then that kind of connects to this question this idea we were talking about within me. It is sort of a friction within me is like, I feel very safe I feel very confident in my work when I lean on that sense of organicness. Like in my head, anything that's closer to that sense of like flow is kind of queen in my head. But then I have this like more conscious voice is like, oh, but you should want to grow and you should like broaden your process and you should expect. So then I struggled to figure out which kind of voice to listen to and am I holding myself back by being too. But that makes sense. I also am, again, it's the weirdest thing, but they do feel like different parts of me because I struggle with when it comes to like working. I struggle very much with attention. I have like mega diagnosed ADHD, all the things. But then when I'll feel like I'm not consciously paying attention to things, but I'll gather all this information I didn't know I gathered. Mm. And then I write and there it is. Mm. So it almost feels like I have two brains. and then I'm in this fight of like trying to grow, but also not distance myself too far from this thing that feels important that I have to protect in a way.
You know? Well, I'm going to share something that I hope is helpful because I feel like our whole lives, if we pay attention to it, can be us like anchoring ourselves in what we know, what we've learned, and then being able to expand from it. So I always say like, can we anchor, then expand, anchor, then expand. And I feel like it's a constant series of points of growth that we can continue to just experience and try out and learn and test out rather than us. I think when we get overly focused on like, this is how things have to be, I think we end up in this perfectionistic mindset, which sometimes can actually get in the way of us doing our best work.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And so that's what I'm working on now. That's beautiful and very helpful. Yes. I want to. I don't know. I'm using my hands. I don't know the words, but yes. That's another trap of mine, the perfection. Yeah. So it's freedom to me to stay in that organic place, but I'm learning how to grow into both.
let me validate that the last two albums you put out were remarkable.
Thank you.
So whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Thank you.
And I also want to say that maybe you can check me on this, but when I tend to look at who wrote songs, I think Apple Music is like the only, I think Spotify does it too, but Apple Music like gives you a full list of like everything that went into a song.
Yeah.
And getting to know you, I think this is true. I think you're the only one who writes your songs in terms of the lyrics and the melodies.
Yeah, for the most part. There's a few songs I wrote with a collaborator, but it's rare that I've, most of my stuff that I release, I write alone,
Okay.
Yes, and so that's impressive.
That's special. And I think what you're saying is you figured it out for yourself. How can I do this for myself?
Yes, it's just a continued effort to be able to trust that way, you know, that because there were no voices when I started. I remember like having no question, like this is the word I want here. This is the melody. This is the, even like in whatever, if I was trying to produce something, like I knew exactly what tasted good to me. You know what I mean? Like as Rick Rubin would say, I was just reading his book, but I knew it was so easy for me to access that. Now there's a lot more voices and I get a lot more insecure, but yeah, I think so. I think I do know my process. I just have to trust it. So
I joke that that's what happens when we get older. Like we start to have more voices because we've had more experiences.
Yeah.
Versus going back to like, you know, that beginner's mindset. Like the first time you tried it, you were just kind of putting it out there and being like, oh, let's see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just all on feeling, like what felt good.
Alexis tends to give me feedback on my songs and I try to just be like, all right, I have to be open to this. So like, let me just radically accept it and be okay with it. And then I think I go back to the organic process again. So it's kind of like I use her feeling of listening to it as a signpost to be like, okay, something's got to change, but I'm not going to let someone else dictate what's going to change. And then I kind of go back to the organic place.
That's the thing. Me too. Then I wind up back where I started. And that's where I struggle with the, yes, I employed the idea, like the new idea, the suggestion, the feedback. And there's a voice in me that's like, oh, it's your craft. You should be wanting to like, you know, take feedback and develop it more. But I wind up back at the organic place because
does that help you though? The organic place get you to integrate the feedback in your own way?
Sometimes that's something I'm toying with, like working with now is like, how can I take the feedback, but find another organic solution? Like then whatever piece I want to change, put it back through that same kind of circuit of like the organic creation place and then re-put it back into the song. Sometimes though, the only way for me to go forth and not just stop everything or freak out perfectionism, like is just to say, so this is how it is. Sorry.
There is an unbelievable metaphor for how therapy works in what we're talking about. So as a therapist, I try my best to trust that there's something within the person that we have to get to, and that my idea to give them feedback is not to tell them like exactly what to do differently, but that there's something within them that's going to make sense. And Alexis and I always talk about nuance.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to just give like blanket feedback, like on like a social media thing, like you must always do this and your life will get better.
It's there's a lot of that.
Not work that way.
Yes.
And so I think that there's a really good metaphor about therapy is like songwriting, because with the patient and myself, we're trying to figure out, okay, what fits? I'm not trying to force it. Even if there's feedback I'm giving, I'm doing it in a very delicate way. I'm also trying to do it in a way that is true to them. It's not like, here's feedback, you need to change it this way. I'm like, well, what do you think? You know, here's an idea, here's some area to reflect on. What do you think would be a change to make?
Yeah.
So like, kind of like we were saying, like you can get feedback about songs, but it's also like, I don't know, for me, I would suggest like keeping that organic place, doing it in your own way, like using the feedback in your own organic way. So it's like not losing that organic part of you.
Yes, this is what I'm working on. Yes, because those worlds do feel so separate within me. I'm working on being able to take like this world and real conversations and voices and opinions and even the me that's here conversing, and then bring it into that room that feels like still kind of isolated within me, and then take the feedback in there, if that makes sense.
Totally.
The organic. So yes, that's a beautiful metaphor. And yeah, that's
and therapy,
on the docket.
And therapy is kind of like building a song together, because at the end of it, I mean, ideally, you know, you have like some resolution, some growth or something. And like the song itself, you can always like listen to the song and it's like, oh, that makes me remind myself of all these things we gained in therapy, what we talked about. And it's like a reminder. I feel like a song itself is like that. It's like the gift you get from therapy. It's always with you. You can always look back and listen.
Yes, you take it with you. Yes.
Beautiful. It's very mean.
It's so great. I feel like for our listeners too, the thing that you said that resonated so strongly with me is this idea of trust in yourself, right? And anything through our experiences, through our training, through the work, through time.
Yeah.
We kind of collect all these little pieces of ourselves that we figure out what fits best and what's going to be most helpful. And to be able to trust in that is such a beautiful thing. And I think in our world, especially today, it's so difficult to trust in much. And I think that's probably the biggest hurdle for any of us to be able to overcome, is to trust in ourselves. And I personally, I am not a musician, though I've dabbled in some things. My consistency in practice is not great, I will admit. But I have such respect and admiration for musicians and such an appreciation for music that you can trust in yourself. Like, this is a thing that I've created. Regardless of what other people are going to think about it, you're going to share it with the world and see what sticks. Because, you know, the same thing we say in our work, it's like some people are going to really resonate and connect with us and some people aren't. And that's okay, right?
Yes.
And I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to do what I do. And I'm still going to, you know, see what happens and see what resonates and see what this means in the greater, broader journey of life.
Yes, see what happens. Yes. Yes, that's very comforting to me because still learning to trust me doing my thing, as we all are doing the thing that, you know, feels inspiring and for us. That room, that's why I always think of it as a room. I'm like, where is it? I got to get back there, you know, because, yeah, where the trust is accessible, because now it is, there's a lot of information and voices and, yeah, so.
It's also true that I feel like every song is unique. Like there's so many similarities in songs or genres, but like no one song is the same as another. It's like a snowflake or a fingerprint. And so only you really have the vision for what the song is going to be. Like in a deeper sense, right? Other people can listen to it, maybe resonate or give you feedback, but like you're kind of the mountain, right? And like you're the steady part that can have the vision of, or just the feeling, right? It's more of a feeling. It's like you can feel where it's going to go. Even if you change it and stuff like that, you're the only one with that full vision or feeling of the song.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing to trust in. Exactly. And that's why it only gets scary once I come out of that place that it comes from. And then I'm out. Like, here it is. And then that's where I'm kind of susceptible to getting, forgetting what that vision, the original vision was, or even the sense that you know, that's up to me, that I'm the mountain, as you say, in the writing process. But yeah, that's true.
I love all this. And I think there's so many connections, whether you're a songwriter or musician or not,
yes,
to like
yes.
life in general through this conversation. And I'm so grateful for you to share that part of your process. But I'm also curious about, you know, the performance side of things, mm-hmm. right? Like being able to show up. And we were talking about this a little bit before, like you show up as yourself. And some people have these expectations of who performers are when they show up on stage, but you have and carry with you so much of like what you've experienced leading up to that moment. And I was mentioning before that Jelani, who is a Broadway performer who was on the show previously, talked about, you know, you go through all these experiences and you still have to show up and you still need to perform. And I think in like everyday life, whether you're a student or an athlete or a musician or a parent or a caregiver or whatever you are, like sometimes we show up and we're like, how am I going to get through this? Like I just went through something really difficult. Can you share a little bit about your experience performing in front of people?
Yes.
Because we're here in this safe studio now where we get to have this conversation without people watching us. It probably feels much different than if we had an audience in front of us.
Yes, definitely. It does. Yeah. And I mean, performing's been a part of all this that's like surprised me or snuck up on me in the way that it's also become a very safe place for me, actually, which it was not at first. Like the songwriting, for instance, is still, as I said, immediately felt like warm and safe and comfortable and like, wow, I've been looking for a place like this. And performing was not that way. It was very scary to me at first, but I loved my songs and I wanted to sing them. So that was an example of me like pushing through a lot of fear around that. But now, we were talking about this before. It's also a space sort of relief for me, I think, because it's similarly a way out of my head. Like, it's true that whatever's going on in your life, you still have to show up and perform. That is one thing that I also love about the singer-songwriter medium is it's very here I am kind of energy anyway, unlike, you know, having to uphold a certain sort of persona. It's like, here are the songs and this is where they came from. And those are living, breathing things that I'm going to sing it in the way I, you know, it might emote something different on a day that I'm going through this. And I can be really chatty or I cannot speak at all. Or there's not a particular persona people are, I mean, to some extent they are. They're expecting like me to be what they know me to be, which is like, whatever, very happy.
Beautiful, but, energetic, loving, kind person that you put out there.
But there's a rawness to the singer-songwriter medium, which I fell in love with very early of like, I remember going to singer-songwriter shows and waiting for the banter between songs. Like the realness and the person with the guitar talking about their life. I've always loved that. But to the tune of like life going on and you still having to perform, I have found that, I don't know if it's the adrenaline or the kind of intensity of performing, but it usually, no matter what's going on, when I get on stage, I'm able to sort of like be washed clean of all that, for better or for worse. I was saying this before we started it. That's still there when you get off stage. Like your whole life is still happening, but there's a freedom to me to performing that I can kind of focus, like, or just be there, be very present. Mm. And again, that feels really good to me, just like songwriting did in the beginning. So I've grown to love performing and feel very safe there.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that because I think, you know, throughout this entire conversation, I've heard these connections of really just being present and in tune with yourself. Mm. And that was that seems like sort of like the driving force behind everything that you do, which is a really beautiful thing. And when you can kind of tune into that presence, the energy, whatever comes up in a moment and trust in that, what you tend to do with that, and for everybody it might be different, but you turn it into something really beautiful, which I think is an incredible gift.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying, I think that makes a connection for me. Like, I think that's what I've always been looking for. And that's why these spaces, like writing, that's the thing that I was like, wow, this feels so good. And being able to be very present and trust myself. And those are spaces in my life that I feel able to do that, is performing and writing. So Thank you.
It's amazing. You're welcome. I also am recognizing that we could talk about this forever because I'm so curious about like your time spent in different countries and, you know, all the different portions of your life that, you know, I love at the beginning. I think it's in your bio that it says like little postcards from all the different places you visited. And I think that's it's such a beautiful thing to be able to capture, right? I always joke with my family. I'm like, we need to write down all these experiences that we have because sometimes we forget. Mm-hmm. And how beautiful is it that not only do you get to capture all those moments, but you get to turn them into these songs that resonate with people in different ways based on something you've experienced and shared, which is really cool. And I'm curious if, you know, not that we could talk about all of these because this would probably take hours, but can you think of one moment, maybe traveling abroad or living somewhere different or just really fully being present, that ignited or sparked an idea that turned into something you were really excited about, whether it's music or otherwise?
One moment.
I know,
oh my
it's
gosh.
A big question. Anything that comes to mind.
Yeah, there's a song I'm using the song thing as an anchor because of course there's so many moments and as I've said, they creep up on me. Like there'll be a moment that happened when I was whatever driving through, you know, some random country 3 years ago on a tour that might come out in a song next week that I'll be like, where did that come from? Like I won't even recognize that I remembered it, you know. But there's a speaking of like the travel and everything, there's a song on my last EP, my In the Good Light EP called The Little Sadness that I started writing on a drive that I had at the end of a very long tour. The tour was in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. It was like a month long and I hadn't been alone that whole time. And it's hard for me to not have alone time. And I was dropping off my friend who was traveling with me at the airport. And I had this one solo drive from Zurich to Munich in Germany, and I was alone for the first time, and the first part of that song was just like waiting for me. It was done somewhere in the ether, and I was able to kind of just grab it, just this 1 hour really in the car, and it's about this feeling. I was shuffling in my head through all these moments that I'd had while I was there, and there's specific ones that the song mentions, like the bartender I'd met the night before who used to be in love with the waitress and took us, my other friend and I, out on this like grand expedition through Vienna to, you know, these interesting cafes, and kind of showed us the city through his eyes, and this girl is with us that he used to love, but they're not together anymore. It was just like all these things. And I thought to myself, in the song it says, I have all this new life I've got to put some, it says, everyone I love is asleep out there and I've got all this new life I've got to put somewhere. And I was driving and I was this moment, I thought about this moment with this guy the night before. And I thought like, how will I ever explain this? Like, how will I take this with me? Everybody, my whole life back home, like how will I, you know, there's almost a tiny bit of like this loneliness of like, you have these experiences with, and then you turn away and you leave them and you can't take them with you, which turns out to be like the core of the song. Anyways, I ended up writing that with the help of another songwriter in the end, months later, because all I had was the first few verses. His name's Ryan O'Reilly. But that song is an example of like a very small moment sparking a really, for me, like a very big idea that was weighing on me of like, what do I do with all this? Like this life I'm having, you know? So
there's a line in one of your songs that I think is so genuine, but also speaks to how you use lyrics to describe your experiences. Cause I feel like you use lyrics to describe experiences so well. And I think the lyric is, there's only one way of summing this up, which is to say, I don't know how I feel.
Thank you. That song is actually, that's the other song that's written with the same person, Ryan O'Reilly. And that was a thing that I said, we were working on this song and we were driving the car and he was like, well, what's the core of it? Like, how do you feel? And I was like, I don't know. And he was the one, it was very smart. He was like, then that's the thesis. Like, that's the idea. And I did have this fear. I was like, I don't think I'll ever make sense of this. Like, why don't I know? What do I feel? And that was his idea. I did not say that as a lyricist. I said that as a confused, he was my therapist in this moment. But I thought that was a really good idea to let that be the lyric, you know, and say that. Because that was kind of the pain point for me, was not knowing. So
I think that's actually the thesis of this podcast, actually, is like oftentimes we don't know.
Yeah.
And we need to explore and we need to listen and we need to learn and we need to be present enough to experience and figure it out as we go, which I think is such a beautiful thing. And I am so grateful for you capturing it in the lyrics and in the songs that you write. And like I said, we could stay here for hours and I'm sure I have more questions, but hopefully we can continue our conversations elsewhere.
Yes.
But I'm so grateful for you to come and share not just your work, but a part of your heart today and your journey and your experience, because I'm sure it'll be incredibly validating and just a beautiful thing for a lot of different people to listen to and to hear. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm crying on the phone, and you're trying to make it better. I didn't want to be alone until I wasn't anymore. Now with my feet bare in the sand, I prayed on the winter solstice. If I'm flying, let me land. And if I've landed, help me notice. On the horizon, everything's light and the boats hang like chandeliers. And I just wanna taste it. You said nothing is wasted, but there goes another. I were just all honest, I might get what I wanted for once. And if I were just brave enough to feel it, I might know all I needed was love. And now nothing's as it doesn't feel that different. They said a change is gonna come, but they never mention we might miss it. On the horizon, everything's light and the boats hang like chandeliers. And I just wanna taste it. You said nothing is wasted, but there goes another year. And if I were just all honest, I might get what I wanted for once. And if I were just brave enough to feel it, I might know all I needed was love. Ooh.
Thanks for tuning in to the Read Connected podcast. Please remember that this is a podcast intended to educate and share ideas, but it is not a substitute for professional care that may be beneficial to you at different points of your life. If you are in need of support, please contact your primary care physician, local hospital, educational institution, or support staff at your place of employment to seek out referrals for what may be most helpful for you. Ideas shared here have been shaped by many years of training, incredible mentors, research, theory, evidence-based practices, and our work with individuals over the years, but it's not intended to represent opinions of those we work with or who we are affiliated with. The Reconnected podcast is hosted by siblings Alexis Reed and Dr. Gerald Reed. Original music is written and recorded by Gerald Reed. Editing and recording was done by Cybersound Studios. If you want to follow along on this journey with us, the Reconnected podcast will be releasing new episodes every 2 weeks each season. So please subscribe for updates and notifications. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram at Reconnected Podcast. That's Reconnected Podcast, and Twitter at Reconnected. We are grateful for you joining us and look forward to future episodes. In the meanwhile, be curious, be open, and be well.